trees are almost green, but will they still be seen when time and tide have been fallen to your passing hands? Please don't destroy these lands, don't make them desert sands. Come tomorrow, will I be older? Come tomorrow.
Hello, my fellow Americans. I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Welcome, everybody. So I want to start today by spending some time on the question, what is a woman? And it might seem like kind of, well, you know, what is a banana? What is an apple? It might seem kind of out of the blue. But this is a topic that came up last week during the confirmation hearings for Joe Biden's Supreme Court nominee, Ketanji Brown Jackson. And we saw Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn ask, among a number of other bad faith questions, can you give me a definition for a woman? And here's how that went.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context. So I'm not a biologist.
And after that all took place last week, I appeared on the right-wing Daily Wire show hosted by Michael Knowles, and we could have talked about anything, but he wanted to talk about, what is a woman? Do I have a definition for a woman? And I explained to him that this is a bad faith question, that any answer that Judge Jackson could have given would have allowed Blackburn to push her into a corner about this or that particular situation, and that the reality is, in Jackson's role as a Supreme Court justice, some general definition of a woman won't really do anything to help figure out difficult cases, since courts have to adjudicate specific and narrow legal issues in particular situations based on individual complaints brought to a court. But now that we got that all out of the way, I actually do want to talk about with you, what is the definition? Because while most people understood the bad faith nature of the question, there are people who have reacted and who have emailed me and have said, you know, the definition is so easy, but it's actually not, even going by their simple definitions. And I hope that we can explore why this is just a bad faith and unproductive line of discussion and reasoning. Now, before I get into this, I do want to remind everybody, particularly people who might see this segment, hear this segment, and not know me, everything I'm saying here is my best faith analysis of the situation, and it is with me speaking as an unfettered defender of trans rights who understands that this is not a simple situation and understands the bad faith nature of why the right keeps saying, give us a definition for woman. So Ryan wrote to me and he explained, David, here's why these things are so tough and meaningless in the abstract. Let's say I ask you to define life. Okay, that's pretty easy, right? I'll look it up in the dictionary and let's start with the dictionary definition. Why not? So a dictionary definition for life is, quote, life, the condition that distinguishes animals and plants from inorganic matter, including the capacity for growth, reproduction, functional activity, and continual change preceding death. Great. So now I've bought in, I've picked a definition, and that's what Blackburn wanted. All the Republicans wanted, right, was just pick a definition and give us that definition. But wait a second. Are children not life, David? Because that was in your definition, reproduction, and they can't reproduce yet. Oh, that's right. That was in my definition. What about the elderly who no longer grow and who also no longer reproduce? Oh, no problem. Let me tweak the definition. Now I've got it. I'm going to get to it, okay? The definition is to account for people who are too young or too old to reproduce. Let's have a different definition of life. It's the condition of an organism that ever had or will have that capability of reproduction and growth. Then it's life. That's tough. That's tough. Some people are born without ever having the capability for reproduction. A man with a sperm disorder, Klinefelter syndrome, a woman with certain conditions. Damn. Okay. All right. Well, let me walk it back again. So I say, what matters is the species as a whole. If this is a species that as a whole reproduces, even if individual members for whatever reason might not be able to, then that meets the definition of life. Oh no. What about mules? A mule is what happens when you breed a female horse and a male donkey and they're sterile. As a species, they can't reproduce. Mules aren't alive now based on my definition. So you can very quickly see how this, just define it, just give us a definition. It's not only bad faith in theory, but it's also really tough in practice. So now let's apply it to the question of what is a woman. During our interview, Michael Knowles suggested a few definitions. And one of them, check out the interview if you're interested. One definition he said was, it's anything and anybody that isn't a man. Well, 1.7% of the population is born intersexed, meaning with both genitals or with some ambiguity in terms of the genitalia. So if you say if they're not a man, they're a woman, that definition doesn't account for that. It doesn't work. Then Knowles said, well, it's a human that produces eggs. So a lot of conditions, including hormonal imbalances and thyroid conditions, things in the womb, pituitary tumors that prevent some women from producing eggs or being able to reproduce. Well, what about capability of reproduction through pregnancy? A human with the capability of reproduction through pregnancy. Tons of conditions that inhibit reproduction. And then you've got postmenopausal women that can't reproduce, but are they not women? Very few people would argue that. So the point here is these definitions do not work for determining who is a woman, since not all biological women are able to do these things. Not all biological women menstruate for different medical reasons. Imagine defining men simply by their ability to, I don't know, impregnate someone or have an erection. So now let's come around to the question that is actually underlying all of this for many Republicans, because you have to really understand the political angle here. They have started to take this perspective that anybody can simply assume an identity and then tell a court, I was discriminated against on this basis. And Ted Cruz kind of brought this to the absurd during the hearings in order to make an analogy. And Ted Cruz said, well, could I, as a Hispanic man, for an hour say I'm now an Asian man and then sue Harvard for anti-Asian discrimination? If you can say I'm a woman now, I'm a man, why can't I say, well, now I'm Asian? It sounded kind of nuts, but he said it. And here's the clip.
But the question was,
let me ask, under the modern leftist sensibilities, if I decide right now that I'm a woman, then apparently I'm a woman. Does that mean that I would have Article 3 standing to challenge a gender-based restriction?
Senator, to the extent that you are asking me about who has the ability to bring lawsuits based on gender, those kinds of issues are working their way through the courts, and I'm not able to comment on them.
Okay, if I can change my gender, if I can be a woman, and then an hour later, if I decide I'm not a woman anymore, I guess I would lose Article 3 standing. Tell me, does that same principle apply to other protected characteristics? For example, I'm an Hispanic man. Could I decide I was an Asian man? Would I have the ability to be an Asian man and challenge Harvard's discrimination because I made that decision?
Senator, I'm not able to answer your question. You're asking me about hypotheticals and
Well, I'm asking you how you would assess standing if I came in and said, I have decided I identify as an Asian man.
I would assess standing the way I assess other legal issues, which is to listen to the arguments made by the parties, consider the relevant precedents, and constitutional principles involved and make a determination.
Now, of course, we all know that that's silly, but why is it silly? It's because whatever it means to be Asian, Ted Cruz isn't actually living life as an Asian man, which sounds a little silly when it comes to race, but we'll then apply it to gender. And importantly, society doesn't see Ted Cruz as an Asian man. Now, I know you can say, but David, that's based on stereotypes or whatever. But it gets to something very important here. When we think about under the law, when I think about, like, genitals aside, who can bring a lawsuit for gender discrimination? Because the whole idea here is they love to say, can a guy put a wig on and then sue and say, I was discriminated against for being a woman? The reality here is that when we say, who can say I was discriminated against for being a woman? What I imagine is anyone living outwardly as a female and seen by society as a female could bring a lawsuit for gender discrimination as a woman. Now, I know it's not perfect, but understand that this is the legal question. I know Republicans love to say, you know, men with wigs. They say, man with a wig hangs out in a bathroom. They're doing all sorts of things. And the point they make is a man with a wig who doesn't actually live life as a woman, nor is seen by society as a woman, they're going to have a very hard time showing in court that they were discriminated against for their status as a woman. It's going to be very difficult to show that. Now, this is not about, should we call people by the pronouns they want to be called by? Of course. This is about the legal question. Can anybody, men, women, whoever, say, I was discriminated against for being a woman? So think about it. If I put on a wig, right? I wear my current clothes. I have my current voice. I go by the name David. If I do all the things that socially tag me as male, no court is going to accept that I was discriminated against because of the perception that I was a woman. I could go and do all the things, right? I could go to the DMV and say, I want to be female now. I want F on my license. I could do all those things. But if I sue, I'm not going to be able to show that I was seen as a woman. And that is paramount to proving that you were discriminated against for gender reasons. Now, on the other hand, if a trans woman is seen as a woman in whatever situation they're suing over, and they can show that, why shouldn't they be able to bring such a lawsuit? I mean, think about it. In many states, you can be fired for your real or perceived sexual orientation. Even if you aren't a gay man, if you're fired because your boss is homophobic and thought you were gay, you can sue even though you're not actually a gay man. And similarly, the point here is when they talk about anybody can just sue and say, I was discriminated against because I'm a woman. Well, can you actually show anybody believed you were a woman in the sense of how they related to you and their alleged discrimination? So the big point here is, when right wingers ask this stuff, number one, it's obviously in bad faith. Number two, whatever you say is going to be used against you. But number three, it's actually a lot more complicated than they pretend these definitions to be. If we think about it from a legal standpoint and we talk it through, we actually can make quite a bit of headway. So let me know your thoughts. And hopefully we've touched on what are some of the really underlying issues and questions here that exist. I got dozens of emails from people over the weekend, since last night, saying, David, you've got to talk about what happened at the Oscars. Will Smith open hand slapping Chris Rock, and it was crazy, and you've got to talk about what happened. So we are going to talk about this on the bonus show today. I wanted to say just a couple of things about it. Let me first explain what happened. As I understand it, and I haven't watched the Oscars in more than 10 years, but I watched some clips and read some articles this morning. Chris Rock joked about Will Smith's wife's short haircut, Jada Pinkett Smith, which is apparently short, at least in part, because of the medical condition alopecia, baldness. And Will Smith apparently didn't like it, And when he walked up to the stage, he slapped Chris Rock. And then when he sat back down, he was screaming at him about, keep my wife's name out of your mouth. The reactions exploded. Some people reacting along racial lines, saying that if this was, rather than two black men, a white man and a black man, it would have been seen completely different. One of them would have been arrested or the other would have been arrested. Okay, that was one line of analysis. Another was, this was obviously staged because in no sane world would this happen. And then the Oscars just continue. I don't know that that's necessarily the case. The people organizing the Oscars might have been as shocked by what happened as anybody else. And they didn't know what the hell to do. And they're like, I guess we just continue the show. I really don't know at this early point in time what the truth is about this, but it is one of the strangest things I've ever even heard of happening during the Oscars. And we are going to talk about it in more detail on the bonus show. So I just wanted to say a little something. I want to hear from you. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment about what you think happened. Was this genuine? Was this a setup, as some are claiming? Let us know. Let me know on Twitter at @DPacman, and then we'll talk about it on the bonus show. All right, this you are not going to believe, I would say, unless you've been following politics in the United States, and in which case you won't even find it surprising. So-called pro-life Republicans, self-described pro-life Republicans, are now debating whether women who have abortions should be killed. Really supportive of life, aren't they? This is happening in Texas. This is happening within the Republican Party in Texas. In suburban Fort Worth House runoff, Republicans debate killing women over abortion. The best way to create and foster a community that supports life is to kill women who had abortions. What? Should Texas punish abortions by putting teenage girls and women to death or not? Writes Yahoo News. That's the current debate of the Republican Party of Texas, where outlawing abortion is no longer a question of if or when, but a question of whether to kill women for getting one. Listen to this. They want us to believe they are pro-life. North Richland Hills Republican David Lowe swears his campaign in the May 24 runoff election has nothing to do with killing women. I'm not even a fan of the death penalty, he said. But then he went on to praise a House bill that would have made ending a pregnancy a potential capital crime. Now understand that in Texas, capital crimes can be punishable by the death penalty. You have an abortion, you're charged with a capital crime, you could be given the death penalty for that capital crime. Do we all agree abortion is murder? He asked the crowd. Absolutely. There should be consequences for it. Of all the opponents, Lowe, an Afghanistan war veteran, chose to run against District 91 State Rep Stephanie Click. Click, a 35-year nurse, has been a low-key House leader in Texas's one-step-at-a-time effort to end abortion. Texas has reduced, remember, legal abortions by about 10%. Abolishing abortion is important, but we can do that without giving women the death penalty. The death penalty. They are debating in Texas, should women be killed if they have an abortion? You may remember that another Texas Republican lawmaker is attempting to make abortion punishable by the death penalty, as reported a few weeks ago by the Texas Tribune. This legislation was filed about 3 weeks ago by State Rep Brian Slayton. It does not include exceptions for rape or incest. It does exempt ectopic pregnancies that threaten the life of the woman. But this is a bill that would abolish and criminalize abortions, and it would leave both the women and the physicians who perform the procedure to face criminal charges that could carry the death penalty. They're for life, guys. And so if a woman has an abortion, you kill the woman and you kill the doctor. Think about that. Now, Donald Trump, you may remember, kind of stepped into this. Trump was pro-choice his whole life. Trump was pro-choice 68 years. Then he became a Republican and ran for president. So, of course, he had to say, I had an epiphany. I had an awakening. And now I'm against abortion. But Trump didn't know the anti-abortion talking points. So when being interviewed by Chris Matthews in 2016, Trump was asked, should there be a punishment for the women? And he said, yes. Remember this?
Do you believe believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
A fine? Imprisonment for a young woman who finds herself pregnant?
It will have to be determined.
Wow.
Do you believe
now, the next day, Trump had to walk that back because the Republicans explained to him, no, we're against abortion, but we don't say punish the woman. That's too far for us in 2016. Now, in Texas, it's a serious debate. Absolutely horrifying stuff. We are going to take a tour today through three elements of the current American right wing, and we're going to go through them from the top down, and it's going to be about this movement called Trumpism. It starts with Trump. Then it goes to other elected officials who are just as wacky or wackier. And then it goes to the people that follow them. And we're going to be able to see all of this through a rally in Georgia that Donald Trump held over the weekend. We're going to look at what Trump said. We're going to look at what other Republicans said. And we'll look at what rally goers said. So we are going to start here first with Donald Trump. I want to remind you, very small crowd. This was the smallest Trump rally crowd in Georgia in 6 years, barely 5,000 people. Trump always says there's 50,000 people here. He said at a recent rally, there were 87,000 people there. There weren't. Those are just lies. But it is true that Trump used to get 10 to 20,000 people at these rallies, barely 5,000 people, entire sections with very, very empty seats. So understand that context. Let's jump right into the first clip where Donald Trump seems to be very clearly saying, I'm running. I'm running in 2024, but he also says he's already won twice.
I ran twice, I won twice, and I did much better the second time. And now we just may have to do it again.
Imagine being this excited that the guy who lost your party everything, he lost the White House after one term, he oversaw Republicans losing the Senate, he oversaw Republicans losing the House, they lost everything under Trump and they want more. It's like a comedy show at this time, except it's not. Then this is a classic Trump unintelligible rant. It's something about gas prices. But Trump is visibly confused. He glitches. I can't make heads or tails out of what he's saying.
Because energy is so expensive today. Gallons, you take a look at your, forget about it, the pump. You take a look at a barrel now, it'll be $2. It could be, people are saying it's going to go up to, think of this. People are saying.
Oh, man. A barrel might go all the way up to $3. That would be the best deal on a barrel I could imagine.
Per barrel, this is going over $100. It's going over $150. It's going up to $200 and $250. So we're making these countries.
By the way, they cut to a Vietnam veteran who seems as confused as anybody in the crowd. Look at the look on this guy's face. Okay, so it does not appear that any of what Trump is saying is going to happen. Oil went up. It got to about 125. It came back down. It may go up a little bit again. But what Trump is saying is just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Trump also back to saying Putin is smart. He's going back to Putin is smart.
But they asked me, is Putin smart? Yes, Putin was smart. And I actually thought he was going to be negotiating. I said, that's a hell of a way to negotiate. Put 200,000 soldiers on the border. It should have never happened. Certain things, and that thing would have ended. But they didn't have the common sense. They
what?
Didn't know what to do. We wouldn't have even had to give him. I think he made a big mistake.
All right. So it's completely unintelligible what sort of point Donald Trump is trying to make there. Then Trump told one of these sir stories where he says they said sir, but this story is the opposite of relatable. Trump says because of the supply chain issues, Tiffany is out of rings, which the crowd really can relate with.
Who the hell ever heard of this stuff? You go to the stores and the cupboards are empty. you go into Tiffany, where is your ego? Sir, we think we can have it in the next 7 to 8 months. Oh, that's wonderful. The good news is you don't buy anything, you save a lot of money. Okay.
Yeah. And of course, Trump's crowd, that's a common problem. They're trying to buy rings at Tiffany, and they're on back order. That's a really, really common problem. Trump did address the confirmation hearings of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, and this is beyond parody. Trump says that Jackson was disrespectful to the Republican senators, if you can imagine that.
But Judge Jackson was unbelievably disrespectful to Republican senators.
What?
That in many cases were really nicely asking questions. She had total disdain and even hatred for them. And I understand that she's very proud of the fact that she never once voted to support President Trump on anything. She always...
Yes, they were very nicely asking questions like, are babies racist? Are you soft on people convicted for a child molestation or for explicit images of children? Can you define a woman? And other similarly respectful questions. Just, I mean, quite literally, you could just you hear Trump and then you go, okay, the opposite of that, that must be what is true. Also, this is a clip that reminds us how desensitized we are to the absurdity of what Trump now says, where he can now essentially say, other governors haven't helped me with the coup, and it doesn't even really make headlines anymore.
But he had no chance at the time, in his opinion, against Stacey Abrams. She was going to beat him, and then he asked me to get involved, and I had two rallies like this, 52,000 people at each at the airport. I said, Brian, you're going to win. And he said, I don't think so, sir. I said, you're going to win, Brian. I don't think so, sir. I don't think I can beat her. I said, Brian, look at this crowd, but they're here for you. And you know what? It's true. They weren't here for him. They were here for me. And he ended up winning twice.
Okay.
He ended up winning. And then when we needed help, he wasn't there for this country. And it was for the country. He wasn't there. But the bad news is...
He wasn't there to help me with the coup. That's an insane thing for a former president to say. And we are so desensitized to it that that didn't even make headlines. Two more quick clips here. Of course, Trump is the perfect victim. He is the one treated the most unfairly. Everybody's so mean to Trump.
Now... No president has ever suffered like I've suffered at the hands of these animals. People say to me, how the hell did you do it? And I can't even give them an answer. I don't know. I think I did it because I love you and because we have a job to do.
Nobody has ever been treated this unfairly. And then last clip, it is March, almost April of 2022. Hillary Clinton has not been a candidate for almost 6 years. And they're chanting, lock her up.
I'm suing for millions of dollars in damages against crooked Hillary Clinton, James Comey, Andrew McCain. The two lovers, remember the lovers, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. And they're going around suing everybody. They used the FBI's web. That was not a good idea. They used the FBI servers.
They're for law and order, they're for due process, and yet they say, lock someone up who hasn't even been charged with a crime. This is a very sick group of people. But remember, Trump's only part of it. After the break, we'll look at his acolytes who spoke at the rally, and then we'll look at the rally goers, which are, I would argue, just as bad and potentially even more dangerous. So we'll take a quick break. We'll have all of these clips on our Instagram at David Pakman Show, and we'll be right back. Okay, so we did part one of this wacky Georgia weekend wherein we looked at Donald Trump's speech at a rally in Commerce, Georgia. But I told you there would be three parts. We'll eventually get to the rally attendees, but first I want to do something intermediate, which is to look at some of the people on the stage, some of the other people who participated in the rally. Because at very often at these rallies, we say you've got the craziness of Trump and you've got the craziness of the rally goers. But here we actually have, really in its full glory, the level of delusion and depravity of the people that still are willing and interested in associating themselves with Donald Trump, including candidates and current elected officials. And so let's go through some of those. First and foremost, radical Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene was at the rally. She spoke at the rally, and before speaking, she was interviewed. And here she puts together some outrageous idea that they, if they take the House, will investigate Hunter Biden's laptop. Now, Hunter Biden has nothing to do with the administration. I don't know why anyone's still talking about his laptop, but take a listen to this.
And they were doing all these shady business deals in Ukraine and other countries. What they were doing is investing in bio labs, interested in bio weapons. And my team is already looking into it. And I have to tell you, we had our Republican retreat for the past couple of days. And there's going to be a new Republican Party coming back in Washington. And we're planning oversight committees on every single committee. There will be oversight and investigations. And you better bet Hunter Biden's laptop will be top of the list.
So there's about four funny things there. Number one, there's going to be a new Republican Party. If that's true, I don't think she's going to be part of it. And what I mean by that is, there's increasingly pressure within the Republican Party to get the hell away from people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. So if there's a new Republican Party, she'll be gone. Number two, she talks about all of the things committees are going to do. She's been kicked off every committee. That's also a funny thing. Now, of course, if Republicans win in the fall, they may put Marjorie Taylor Greene back on committees. That's fair. But the idea that Hunter Biden's laptop is going to be a top priority, I don't think she's kidding. I think she's telling the truth. And that's what makes it so scary. Then she jumped into the typical anti-Semitic tropes. See if you can spot them here.
Some of the topics you're going to talk about.
Well, what I'll be talking about is some of what I've talked about right now. But I'll also be talking about how there's a globalist agenda. And that agenda is being brought forth by the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab and all of their cronies. These are the same people that, you know, what they want right now is they want war and more war. Because they love crisis and they love to use it to their political advantage.
Now, I know to many of our untrained ears, you might not recognize anything she said as anti-Semitic. And I concede she may not mean these things in an openly anti-Semitic way, but this is the same old trope of globalist control. The one guy she mentions is Jewish. For the personal gain of the people doing the controlling. Often they say Klaus Schwab and George Soros. Globalist is another buzzword. Sometimes these people don't even realize that these all of these ideas have a basis in anti-Semitism. But it's Marjorie Taylor Greene, and she doesn't realize the origins of half the things that she says. Then Matt Gaetz spoke. Matt Gaetz also spoke at the rally, and he says he wants Trump to be Speaker of the House if Republicans win in November.
To fire Nancy Pelosi, take back the majority, impeach Joe Biden, and I'm going to nominate Donald Trump for Speaker of the United States House of Representatives.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. Well, that was interesting.
Yeah. Now, again, I don't think it's going to work out for them, but there is really a movement within the Republican Party to make Trump Speaker of the House if they win in November. Remember that you don't have to be a member of the House to be Speaker of the House. Anybody can be made Speaker of the House. It's just traditionally it's been a member of the House. And then we got to a really ugly phase in the event, which is when Herschel Walker spoke. Herschel Walker, who recently said, if monkeys still exist, how could evolution be real? Here he is. Listen to this.
Americans, we're not black, we're not white, we're American, we're all mutts. I hate to tell you that. We should have learned a long time ago that 23andMe has screwed us all up.
That's really the enemy, guys, 23andMe. And then Herschel Walker apparently wanting to talk about CRT, critical race theory, instead talking about CTR.
For this country, people want to ask me all the time why I'm running. I'm sick and tired.
Yeah, but I mean, I have no idea why he's running. It's a good question.
I'm sick and tired of them wanting to teach CTR in school, critical race theory. Can you tell me what that means?
We can. And again, I this is a guy who's taken a lot of hits to the head. He may have a brain injury. That's not a joke. I mean, he played football for a while. Heisman Trophy winner, college football, pro football. He does seem to often be extraordinarily confused during these speeches. And CTR, that's click-through rate. In the world of advertising, CTR is a very important metric. And maybe he wants it taught in school. And then here is Marjorie Taylor Greene, barely able to see over the lectern, going on a very homophobic rant about Pete Buttigieg. And I'll explain that to you in a moment.
And you know what? Pete Buttigieg can take his electric vehicles and his bicycles, and he and his husband can stay out of our girls' bathrooms.
That is, man, that is so depressing. That's standard right-wing homophobic nuttery. And it's the idea that gay men are pedophiles. Why would Pete Buttigieg be interested in hanging out in a girl's bathroom? It doesn't make any sense. And of course, the disdain for bicycles. You don't like bicycles? You don't like electric vehicles? Like, what is there not to like about an electric vehicle? So this is part two of our exploration of the rally in Georgia. We looked at the Trump nuttery and now the acolyte nuttery. Next and lastly, no more. This is the last part. We will look at the attendees. At the end of the day, no matter what Trump says, if he doesn't have followers in the Republican Party, it doesn't really matter. But he does have followers: Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Herschel Walker, and others. But if nobody pays attention or takes them seriously, then it doesn't really matter. But unfortunately, there are tens of millions of people who love this. I hesitate to even call it a movement. It's sort of a perversion of a movement, but there are tens of millions of people. And here are a few of them who went to the Trump rally over the weekend. Here is a woman who believes things have been so bad under Joe Biden that obviously everybody's going to vote Trump in 2024.
Specifically.
So, you know, Trump is going to have a lot to do, a lot of work. But see, he's the one that knows how to do it. And people that didn't vote for Trump, they're going to do it this time because they've been taught a hard lesson.
Yeah.
A hard lesson.
So that's a very optimistic Trump supporter saying they learned the hard way. They learned the hard way. And of course, what we've learned is Trump's willing to try to steal an election he lost in order to stay in power, ignoring all elements of democracy and checks and balances in this country. Here's just kind of a funny, cringy moment. There's a guy in the audience at the rally who wrote what he describes as a very patriotic song, but nobody will listen to it. So he insists on giving us a few lines. This is weird.
We're trying to release a patriotic song, but I can't get anyone to listen to it here. Oh, you guys want to hear it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to sing it? No, it's a missionary friend of mine that wrote it. But I played it for a few people in Houston, and they said they were going to get back with me. But
two people in Houston said, let me think about it. That's not bad. That's a ringing endorsement.
It starts off life, liberty, and truth worth fighting for. Honor, love, and truth is worth dying for. And it mentions everything about the Great Awakening, but I can't get anyone to listen to it.
I can't imagine why. I mean, he's such an inspiring speaker, and it's such a prescient message.
That sounds like a great song. It's kind of bad no one wants to listen to it. Well, just everybody's busy, you know. Everybody's doing something, you know.
Well, how do we hear it?
If you just gotta give me a card, I'll send some of them.
I will mail you a cassette tape with the song on it. Continuing our tour of the Trump rally, another guy at the Trump rally had a suggestion for balancing the budget, so no shortage of economic ideas presented either.
Rally here. How's it going, sir?
You know how they can balance the budget. How's that? Drill two oil wells in Alaska and let it all go to the national budget. Then we won't have no difference. worries about our inflation either to take care of it.
I miss the...
We need Trump back in there to take care of all this. Biden needs to retire. Harris needs to retire. Pelosi needs to retire. Schumer and all them idiots up there.
It sounds like he's saying retard, but I guess he's saying retire. Yeah, okay, so he has some economic ideas, which are very, very interesting. And then lastly, here's a guy wearing an American flag jacket with an FJB, that's, you know, F Joe Biden hat on, who drove, I guess, to Georgia from New York and waited 6 hours in line. Now, I'm not ridiculing this. Understand the level of commitment and devotion that some of these people have. I mean, I'm the first one to say, I don't know of anyone who would do that to just hear Joe Biden speak, not because they don't support Biden, but because there's not a cult-like obsession with him as an individual. It's just, is he doing an okay job as president? I don't need to drive across the country to listen to the guy. I'll watch it on TV. But understand that it's important that they have this level of commitment.
What he's doing over there in Poland right now, he's going to meet the refugees of Ukraine.
He's making an idiot of himself.
He hasn't been to the southern border, but he's been over to Ukraine.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's awesome. All the pony shows.
It really is. It really is. So you guys from Georgia?
Okay. Anyway, so then the guy goes on to say he drove there from New York and stood in line for 6 hours and et cetera, et cetera. If we misunderstand these people, they're going to win again. It's just the reality of the situation. And so it needs to be taken very seriously. And we are now, it's easy to laugh and say, guys, it's been almost 2 years since the election. They're still saying it was stolen. They still call him President Trump. They still say he's really the president. And we laugh and we point. But that is a level of devotion, a cult-like devotion, that fortunately doesn't exist on the left. Like, you know, I don't really care about politicians from a personality standpoint. It's just like, are you going to do the things you promised? And are you going to do things I agree with? That's it. I'm not driving anywhere. There's no cult like interest, but this is exactly what could rocket them back to the Oval Office as soon as 2024. So it should not be ignored. A dystopian, horrific weekend in Georgia. I think, and I hope that this will be interesting to you, I've spoken before on the show about what I call these unsubscribe trolls. These are people who loudly tell me, sometimes for years, I was just about to become a paid member. I was just about to do it, but then you said this, and now I'm never giving you a penny. Or, I have been a subscriber for years, but now I'm canceling because you said the wrong thing, or whatever. I have one of these examples for you, and it's kind of evolved over several months. Over the weekend, an email came in from someone named Yulia, who said, I'm canceling. And I'm canceling, David, because you are not transphobic enough. Now, those are my words, not their words. And I looked up their email history. This is why we keep it. And hilariously, they've been emailing me for 6 months. And it's always about how I'm not transphobic enough. I need to be more transphobic. And it started with, I was about to give you money, but I'm not. And now it's, I'm canceling because you're not transphobic. This is fascinating. So let's start with the first email. This one's from early October, where Yulia said, hey, David, I've been watching your YouTube channel for some time. I was thinking about joining to contribute money, but there is one thing that has kept me from it. You see, the most attractive thing about your channel for me, I'm a molecular biologist, is you frame your narrative around science, including the vaccine debates. But there was one thing that turned me off. There was one show in which you talked about trans people saying something that everybody on the left tends to say, trans women are women. Now, as virtually any biologist will tell you, sex is real and cannot be changed by current scientific methods. In my opinion, if you're all about science, saying that trans women are women is grossly inaccurate. It's true to say trans women are trans women, but not women. You're saying that they are women because they identify as women or whatever is something that sounded hypocritical to me as a biologist. I would join and support your channel, I guess, if you stayed more accurate to science, because as a scientist, I've been looking for a leftist who would be true to science. Guys, is Yulia a scientist? I think it was only mentioned 5 times in this email. So first of all, I have never denied that biological sex exists. I have never claimed that current scientific methods chromosomally change a man to a woman or a woman to a man. But I have said that for the purposes of society and how I will deal with people, it makes no difference to me whether a woman is biologically female or not, if that is how they are living their life and want to be seen. Okay, so anyway, you get the point. That was in October. November, Yulia writes in again and says, how are you left different from Trumpists? David, I appreciate your show, but this recent question about transgenderism has caught my attention. Now, remember, they were about to subscribe in October and didn't. They're still watching, though. I think you would be doing a disservice to yourself and to the community if you continue to blindly follow the left propaganda about transgenderism. I know inclusivity. So should we, for the sake of inclusivity, teach creation science in schools? Your show's most prominent feature is you position yourself as true to the facts. It is what I and most of your audience, I suppose, like about you. This is not the first time Yulia speaks for my audience. And Yulia goes on to say, so tell me, when a male person says, I feel I am a woman, therefore it is true, and you believe him and insist on everyone calling this male person a female, how is this different from people saying Trump won when he didn't? How is this not a delusion the same way Trumpists think Trump won? Again, this is not tailored to the things I have said on the show, but they are continuing to slam me. And then the final straw guy, and listen, 6-7 months of being displeased with what I say and continuing to watch, Yulia has had enough. Why unsubscribe? David, I might not be significant for you. I'm just a biological scientist, but I have to say, I am unsubscribing. And perhaps many other people will follow. Again, speaking for everybody else. The reason is I was under the impression you were a nonpartisan objective reality check science channel. You betrayed me. When you talk about so-called trans people, you evoke no statistics. You evoke no scientific argument. All you said was just in agreement with YouTube policy. I wish said it out loud. I am saying this because this is in agreement with YouTube policy, but you didn't say that. Guys, I don't know what she's talking about. I have no idea. Anyway, Yulia says, I cannot recommend you or your channel to anyone I know because you lack integrity. I am very sorry. You do not deserve a place in my media stream. And I am a scientist. You are not about science. I'm trying to, I almost forgot between emails 2 and 3 that Yulia is a scientist, but now I remember. Anyway, I don't even know that I've said most of the stuff she's referring to. The issue of trans people doesn't come up a ton on this show. But you know what? Good riddance, Yulia. Good riddance. I was never going to be the transphobe that you wanted me to be. So I'm sorry to see you go, but not really. And hopefully this means no more emails. That's another really funny thing. Sometimes people are like, I haven't been subscribed for 3 years, but I'm going to email you every week with some critique of what you said. I'm fine for you to unsubscribe, but please stop the email. So that's a little peek behind the curtain at the stuff we're dealing with on a daily basis. Donald Trump has sued Hillary Clinton in a very strange sprawling lawsuit that doesn't make any sense. Reuters is reporting Trump sues Hillary over 2016 Russian collusion allegations. Donald Trump on Thursday sued his rival in the 2016 election, Hillary Clinton, and several other Democrats, alleging they tried to rig that election by tying his campaign to Russia. Now, what's funny about this is all crazy and we'll go through it. The Russia stuff really was after Trump had won. So how could you rig an election? Again, it's like, do you not understand time? How do you rig the 2016 election by talking about Russia in 2017? Doesn't really make sense. Anyway, the lawsuit covers a long list of grievances and comes as Trump continues to falsely claim he actually won in 2020. This is from the lawsuit. Acting in concert, the defendants maliciously conspired to weave a false narrative that their Republican opponent, Trump, was colluding with a hostile foreign sovereignty. The lawsuit alleges racketeering and a conspiracy to commit injurious falsehood. A Clinton representative didn't respond. The lawsuit wants compensatory and punitive damages. Trump said he was, quote, forced to incur expenses in an amount to be determined at trial, but known to be in excess of $24 million and continuing to accrue in the form of defense costs, legal fees, and related expenses. Do you accrue legal fees if you don't pay them? I guess sort of, but Trump often doesn't pay his lawyers. Another article about this: Donald Trump sues Hillary Clinton and allies over Russia claims. Sprawling lawsuit accuses a large cast of racketeering conspiracy over allegations that Trump was in Putin's pocket in 2016. So listen, as usual, you know how we've talked about this unfortunate reality or phenomenon where the right says, hey, the left is doing this, and it's actually they who are doing it. The left is going to rig the election. Actually, you tried to, but fortunately you failed. The left can't be trusted with classified and secret and sensitive information. Actually, it was you flushing documents down the toilet, taking them to Mar-a-Lago, spilling secrets to a Russian spy recruiter in the Oval Office, and on and on and on. And likewise here, the right loves to say, the left is constantly suing everybody, frivolous lawsuits, we've got to deal with it, tort reform and all this stuff. Isn't it time for a judge to start holding the lawyers accountable who file these trash lawsuits because they are absurd? And you can be sure, I mean, take a step back. Everything else aside, you can be sure this lawsuit won't go anywhere, because if it did, the defendants would have the ability to carry out discovery. And discovery could include up to and including deposing Donald Trump. Okay? Maybe Trump can raise money off of this in the short term from his low information followers. Maybe he can convince them, like he convinced so many of them, donate to me and I'll fund recounts and we'll flip this election. And it was a lie. And many of them gave him money. Maybe Trump can similarly tell them, give me money so that we can sue Hillary. But in the long term, this is going nowhere, because Trump and his lawyers know it would be a disaster if they were subjected to discovery. And that's basically it. This will almost certainly be dropped soon. And it is another one of these instances of do as I say, not as I do. And whatever I do by definition is right because I'm doing it. And everybody else is lying to you and I'm telling you the truth, except I lie all the time. That's basically the bottom line here. I expect this to go absolutely nowhere. We have a voicemail number. That number is 219-2-DAVID-P. Here's an interesting voicemail about the entire please define what a woman is thing, including my recent appearance on the Michael Knowles Daily Wire show. And this is another aspect to this, which is, why are these people so obsessed with genitalia? Maybe we should focus on that. Take a listen.
David, I'm sorry, I'm not done. Your appearance on the Michael Knowles show, like, really triggered me. Just this idea that he's saying that women, you know, the definition of women is the most important thing in America. You have to push back on that. Make him feel like a pervert, because he's being a pervert when he says that. You got to say, you really think whether or not a 13-year-old has a penis, you think what's inside of the pants of kids is more important than potential nuclear war? It's more important than North Korean tests, how we respond to that. It's more important to assessing our interventions overseas, and do we send troops to Ukraine? What do we do in Ukraine? Discussion of kids' genitals is more important to you and more interesting to you than foreign policy, than domestic tranquility, than literally any other issue.
Yeah, so it's an interesting idea, which is to push back when they do this stuff and say it's more applicable to the bathroom stuff, I would say, than to, like, you know, the Ketanji Brown Jackson hearing, maybe, and just the general definition of woman. But I think it's a fair thing to say, why are you so obsessed with the genitals of kids? Nobody's paying attention to that. Are you saying you would if you were in a bathroom with children? It's a rhetorical approach. I don't think it's super substantive, but sometimes you've got to win the rhetorical battle. So I understand thinking about it. Very interesting. Let me know what you think. It could backfire if not done correctly. That would be the concern. We have a great bonus show for you today. We will talk about the new billionaire tax, not millionaire, billionaire tax proposed by Joe Biden. We will talk about a new I don't know what to call it, a new initiative from Uber, where in New York City, all New York taxis will be listed in the Uber app. It's very interesting why this is happening. And when Pat joins me, we're going to try to figure out what happened yesterday at the Oscars where Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. And we have some more information about it than we did now at the start of the show. So we will talk about that on today's bonus show. All of that and more. And you can access it instantly by signing up at joinpacman.com. You can use the coupon code WOW22 to get a discount. We do depend on the support of our viewers and listeners. So I would love it if you signed up at joinpacman.com. And it comes with great perks, like being able to access the bonus show. You also get a commercial-free audio and video stream of the show every day, 6 hours before it is published, and so many other great perks, including a forthcoming town hall, which I will tell you more about next week. See you on the bonus show, or otherwise, sadly, if you're not a member, we'll have to wait until tomorrow.
WRCT, in sound, from way out.
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.
RCT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1949.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call jazz.
RCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-song word.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Technoland? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here on WRCT. Word to your mother.
DJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCG Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
DJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you... For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
Humanitarian tragedy is not humanitarian. It is political. I'm therefore appealing for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire to allow for progress in serious political negotiations aiming at reaching a peace agreement based on the principles of the United Nations Charter.
As UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres calls for a humanitarian ceasefire in Ukraine, negotiators from Russia and Ukraine are holding peace talks in Turkey. We'll go to Ukraine to speak with a Guardian reporter who just left the bombed-out city of Kharkiv. Then, as a federal judge says Donald Trump and his lawyer likely committed multiple felonies in their bid to block Joe Biden's election victory, we'll also look at a new Frontline ProPublica documentary, Plot to Overturn the Election.
In the coming weeks, I was focused on the violence in the streets. I didn't realize that something far more consequential was happening in the hotel suites around me. A plot to undermine and overturn the election.
But calls are growing for Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas to be impeached after the release of text messages showing his wife, Ginny Thomas, pushing Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, to overturn the election. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Negotiators from Ukraine and Russia have opened their first direct peace talks in more than 2 weeks. Ahead of today's negotiations in Istanbul, Turkey, President Volodymyr Zelensky said Ukraine is unwilling to compromise on its sovereignty and territorial integrity, but is open to discussing neutrality and a prohibition on Ukraine joining NATO. On Monday, The Wall Street Journal and the investigative news site Bellingcat reported the Russian billionaire Roman Abramovich and Ukrainian peace negotiators suffered symptoms of suspected poisoning after a meeting in Kyiv earlier in March. The symptoms reportedly included red eyes and peeling skin on their faces. The Wall Street Journal cited unnamed officials who suspected the negotiators were poisoned by hardliners in Moscow seeking to sabotage peace talks, but others have expressed skepticism. The BBC reports a senior Ukrainian official said members of the Ukrainian delegation were fine and that one of them had called reports of poisoning false. Roman Abramovich is in Istanbul today as part of the latest round of peace talks. Ahead of the negotiations, Ukraine's foreign minister warned his delegation to be cautious.
I advise anyone going for negotiations with the Russian Federation not to eat or drink anything, and preferably avoid touching any surface.
Ukraine's military says it has recaptured several towns from Russian forces, including Irpin, a strategic suburb outside the capital, Kyiv. Meanwhile, the mayor of Mariupol said nearly 5,000 residents, including 210 children, have died in Russia's assault on the besieged city, which was home to nearly 500,000 people before Russia's invasion. On Monday, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for an immediate ceasefire.
A cessation of hostilities will allow essential humanitarian aid to be delivered and enable civilians to move around safely. It will save lives, prevent suffering, and protect civilians.
In Russia, the prominent independent newspaper, Novaya Gazeta, said Monday it's halting operations until the war in Ukraine is ended, after the paper's editors received a second warning from a Russian state censor. Last year, the paper's editor-in-chief, Dmitry Muratov, won the Nobel.